Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. "Go into that village over there," he told them, "and as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying that colt?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So they went and found the colt just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for Jesus to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. And when he had reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. "Hosanna! Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord! Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying that." He replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace, but now it is too late and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close you in from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you." Almost 500 years before Jesus was born, Zechariah, an Old Testament prophet, said he was coming. "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. Zechariah 9:9. In this chapter of Zechariah, he makes several different prophecies. And the first two are about the destructions of the cities of Lebanon and the cities of Philistines, which ends up happening 200 years later when Alexander the Great conquered the eastern Mediterranean coastlands. But his third prophecy that Zechariah gives is toward Jerusalem, and a prophecy of a king that is coming to them. Not a king that's coming from within them rising up, but a king coming to them. The prophecy encapsulates the hope and the expectations of the Jewish people for the arrival of this Messiah, who would bring peace and justice and salvation to the world. This king would be one of peace. Zechariah's prophecy continues and he says, "I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Because of the covenant I made with you, sealed with blood, I will free your prisoners from death in a waterless pit. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles." The moment Jesus sent his disciples to retrieve for him a colt, he was stepping into this prophecy. And the Jews knew this prophecy, and they had long ago attributed it to the coming of the Messiah. So if anyone had been unsure if Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah, This action would make it loud and clear. And the crowds recognized this. They had grown up hearing these scriptures read to them in the synagogues. They knew this prophecy in their very core, and they recognized when it began to unfold. This man, Jesus, had done many things they believed the Messiah would do, many healings, the blind, the lame, the lepers. He helped the deaf, and he spread good news to the poor, all things that the Messiah was given credit to doing. But the real kicker, a few days ago, Jesus raised a man from the dead, Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days. The crowds knew all this, and they were stoked. And Jesus, the king, was coming in on a donkey, just like Zechariah said. Normally, kings rode in on horses to offer a sign of strength and power. But the donkey was an expression of peace and humility and service. The Hebrew word for humble describes those who are poor or socially vulnerable. And Zechariah used this term to link this messianic king with the oppressed. In his life, who did Jesus move toward? The sinners, the outcasts, the lepers, the poor. So our humble Messiah, Jesus, mounts a colt and with purpose rides into Jerusalem, knowing full well that he was riding toward his very end, that before the week was out, he would accomplish what he had been born to do. Not only was he fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy, but he was also setting the stage for the fulfillment of the law and putting an end to death. This particular day that Jesus chose to ride in on a donkey was known by the Jewish people as Lamb Selection Day. Each Jewish family would select a perfect one-year-old lamb from their flock, or they would purchase one, and they would bring that lamb into their home for 5 days. And during that time, they would keep the lamb under inspection, looking to be sure that it was flawless, no blemishes, perfect. Jesus, the Lamb of God, enters Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Day to shouts of joy and bliss, calling out, "Hosanna." Hosanna means, "Save us, we beseech thee," or "Save us, we pray, O Lord." It was a desperate cry for salvation and an exclamation of adoration for Jesus as the Messiah who brings salvation. By shouting Hosanna, the people are confirming their selection of this lamb to provide the rescue they needed. The nearby Pharisees hear all of this, and they know immediately that this is bad for them, and this is going to make their plan to destroy Jesus a whole lot harder. They recognize the shouts, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," as declarations of belief that Jesus is the Messiah. And it is then that they shout to Jesus to control the crowds, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples for saying such things as that. Don't let them call you the Messiah, Jesus," is what they're really saying. And Jesus just replies, "If they kept quiet, the very stones would cry out." Now, I think it would have been kind of cool if Jesus had made them silent, so the stones would have cried out. But he was there for a purpose and not for showmanship. And the truth is, creation has always known who Jesus is. Now, this must have deeply concerned the Pharisees. And as the week progresses, they have opportunities where they could arrest Jesus, but they're afraid to, because of the crowd support that he has. And so they go away puzzled. How are we going to bring an end to Jesus? And that will take us to a quiet garden late at night. But that's a story for a different day. As Jesus continues riding toward Jerusalem, he comes to a rise in the road from which he can see the entire city. And in only a few days' time, that city would turn against him. And they would have him killed. And many of the people who surround him today, shouting Hosanna, will be crying, crucify him. And as Jesus looks upon the city, he begins to weep. The Greek word for weep means to sob and wail aloud. These are not gentle tears trickling down his cheek. He's sobbing. Now, maybe the onlookers just thought he was overwhelmed by the reception he was receiving. But the Bible tells us his heart. Jesus is deeply distressed that Jerusalem, whose name means City of Peace, did not recognize the true path to peace, the path that Jesus came to bring. Shalom, peace, is not just an absence of war, but it's a wholeness and a reconciliation with God. And they missed it. But despite their impending betrayal, despite knowing what was to come for himself, Jesus didn't hold any kind of vengeance, but rather sorrow for the suffering that these people were bringing upon themselves. And here we see the heart of our Savior, loving and kind, even though he knows what's to come. And it is in this moment that Jesus speaks a prophecy over the city. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close you in on every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you. Jerusalem's failure to recognize Jesus as the Messiah has devastating consequences. And in 70 AD, not long after Jesus, the Romans move into the city and they destroy it. And the temple, they destroy it too. And they knock every stone down and nothing is left as it had been. No stone sits upon another. The city and the temple are completely destroyed, just as Jesus said they would do. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem marked the beginning of his mission to bring salvation to mankind, offering hope and joy to the people of God. His three-year ministry served to build up a following of disciples who would be his witnesses and who would grow the church in his absence. His teachings recorded in Scripture for the generations to follow, including us, that we would hear and know the truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus confirmed his identity as the promised Messiah. He demonstrated his humility and his gentleness and his steadfast love. He brought the hope of salvation and the promise of peace to the world. And as Jesus brings peace and justice to the world, we have a place in that. And we can strive to uphold those very values in our daily lives, fostering an environment where everyone can flourish and grow in a place of love. And as we venture through Holy Week together, I invite you to spend some time in prayer and appreciate the deep intricacies of our scriptures and of the truths found within. Let that speak to your heart, that it's not just knowledge in your head, but it reaches down into your heart. Go now in peace, welcoming Christ the King into your hearts and your lives. May you walk in his humility and serve with his love and proclaim his goodness with joy. And as the crowds once cried Hosanna, may your lives declare that Jesus is Lord, today, this week, and always. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.